we have translated as be still. It literally means, and I love this, it literally means leave my people alone. I am all over their safety. Now, since Adam and Eve ate of that fruit in the garden, this has been true ever since then. But the problem is we haven't been around that long. We, particularly us people that are here tonight, we've got a very limited scope of history in a lot of ways. And it seems like, at least feels like for us in our day, in our time, in our culture, I mean, this is a word that we just need to press into even deeper, though, as we watch the news, as we hear about what's going on in the world. I'm sure most of you saw in the news, just I think it was last weekend, the man in Cleveland walking home after eating dinner from Easter with his family, and the gentleman walks up to him on his iPhone, Facebooking live, and he says, "Say Joy Lane." And the guy says, "What? Excuse me?" Like he has no idea what this guy is saying to him. And he says, "Say Joy Lane." And he says, "Why?" And he said, "Because she's the reason I'm about to do what I'm going to do to you." And he killed him, recording it live on his phone. We can turn the news on and hear of threat of war and real war and posturing around the world. I mean, I hope it does something for us. The Spirit stirs in my soul when I get to the depth of this text and I hear the Lord saying to me, "Be still. Leave my people alone. I'm all over their safety. I have this." This is helpful for me as a dad. Now, does it cause all fear to scatter? Does it cause all anxiousness to leave? Absolutely not. That's why I've got to come back to His Word and rest in the Spirit and hear it over and over and over again. But the Lord says, "Be still. I am all over my people's safety." Fear comes in so many forms, in so many ways. And as we cope with it, I think one way we deal with it is, let's just stay busy. Let's just hear lots of noise. That way I don't have to think about it. I don't have to process it. And I can just kind of let other things push that out of my life. But we know it doesn't work. That doesn't ultimately calm the storm. And so the reason that Psalm 46 ends the way that it does is, let's look now back at the first five verses of Psalm 46. And it says this: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Therefore, so I love that. So God is our refuge. He is our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. So because that's true, therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Let me just go ahead and read the rest of this. "The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he's brought desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Therefore you can be still and know that I am God." So this discipline of silence and solitude, it allows us and it causes us to remember God's protection. We read the psalm opens up and says that God is our refuge and He is our strength. He's not a refuge. He's not a strength. He's just not there when everything else kind of seems to fall away. He's not some sort of like credit card when the cash flow is low. He's not like Medicare or Medicaid. He's not some sort of form of extra support. He is our refuge and our strength. He is not passive in the moment. In verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. And some of your Bibles are probably footnoted. And if you look at that, I love the footnote that it says that what's tied to that word present says well proved. I love that picture. You can count on it. It is settled. And then that's the scene that verses 2 through 5 paints for us. A scene that everything around you is falling apart. Everything is fading away, but God is our refuge and our strength. We will not fear even though the earth gives way. When the mountains fall into the oceans and the waters roar, because when that happens, when the storm is raging and everything that you know seems like it is literally falling apart around you, God is saying, be still. Be still. I mean, the way I would translate this in my own life for a preacher, again, who talks a lot, I think he's saying, Matt, shut up. Sit down. I've got this. Remember my protection. And I desperately need to hear this. I need to be reminded of this. As a dad, as a husband, as a follower of Jesus, I mean, this is what can call us out to hard and scary places. That might be in hard and scary places around the world, or it might be down to the, again, as we even talked this morning, to the local coffee shop, and to begin to have conversations with people that you've known your whole life, and now it's time to move beyond. Hey, how are things doing? Or when we think about even the art of neighboring. Now, one thing that I'm just not good at, which is a terrible thing as a pastor, I'm just terrible at remembering names. Me and names, they go opposite directions. I have to work hard. Thankfully, I still leave birth certificates out for my children. I check them in the morning, like, right, she's fade. No, but it's a very difficult thing for me. And it's scary at times when I've been to the same place and I've talked to the same people, and in the past I've asked them before, tell me your name. And I've gotten it, but then I can't remember it. And I keep going back to the same place. And then, like, especially if it's a place I frequent and I use money, there, typically, I use a card. I don't carry a lot of cash. And so, A, if they don't have my name, they can look at it. And so, at times, even these things that we think are scary, no doubt, we can call people out, and we ought to do to go to hard places around the world. And this verse has great power in it. But it also helps me at times then when I need to just kind of say something that could be as trivial but as scary as just going, I'm so sorry, but can you tell me your name again? And begin to try to lock that into my life, into my heart, so I can remember them, so that I can truly begin to befriend them and build a relationship in them. I love the hope and the surety that is in this passage. He is our refuge and He is our strength, a very proven present help in the time of need. So therefore, Scripture says, we will not fear. We can be still and know that He is God. And so when I think about what is it that the Lord would have us to do, I think it starts here to say, God, I'm safe. One of Satan's greatest lies. One of Satan's greatest lies is that we try to get convinced that there's really some safe spots on this planet and how the world says that there is. Listen. I know people say, hey, look, you live down in Midtown, you live in Atlanta. Listen, sin is as rampant here as it is there. Hearts are just as hard and dark here as they are there. We just have a lot more people. We have TV channels that are going to show it more often. Some of those same things, they are happening. We have to remember God's protection in our lives. The second thing that I want us to see from this text is then just, I think what drives us into mission, what propels us in this area, is that we remember who God is, that He protects us and He holds us, and we can be confident in this. We need not fear. But then also is the sense of worship of Him. Again, I can't really sing well at all, but I love to sing. I love to worship the Lord through music. I love it deeply. I love in the mornings in local churches when we are singing and you hit those songs that just seem to click for most people, and you just kind of pin your ears back and you just let it fly. And I always feel bad for the people in front of me because they have to kind of hear that. But you just let it go because the Spirit is stirring inside of you. I mean, that is good and it's right, and we are commanded to do this. And as much as that is true in my life, as much as I enjoy that, it's something we all ought to do as believers. But look, we have a little book tucked away here towards the end of the Old Testament named after the prophet Habakkuk. And let me just kind of quickly set this up and give you a little reference on this. The book of Habakkuk opens up with a complaint by the prophet Habakkuk. In four short verses, his complaint in summary goes something like this. God, where are you? God, why are you silent? I'm calling out to you, Lord, and it's like crickets. I'm hearing and sensing nothing from you, God. Did you know enemies are attacking us? They're coming from every direction. God, where are you? I think most of us, all of us, life is just not sweet and packaged and easy as we go through life at times. I think at times we've all sensed this. In the rest of the first chapter, in all of the second chapter of a 3-chapter book is the response of God, and God reminds him who he is. God says, this is who I am. This is what I am doing, and this is where I am. And at the end of the response, in Habakkuk 2:20, we read this, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. This being still before God, the time that we are pressed into that, it has a purpose to express worship to God where words and actions and noise are not needed. It's a right recognizing of who God is. I, as a father, at times have to say more to my children than I want to. I have to look at them and say, stop talking. I'm not here to debate this with you. You must be confused. You think I want your input on this decision. You must be confused to think you're in charge right now. How much more true is that with our Heavenly Father? I'm a flawed Father. I question 99.9% of the decisions I make. Oh, is that the right thing to do? I don't know. What do we do? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to train wreck these children. What's going to happen here? How much more is our Heavenly Father who loves us? And there is a time to speak to Him, but there are times to sit and just be still, to simply adore Him and to worship Him. And I pray that there may be more times in my life because of the love of my Savior, that the reality and the truth of who He is, His very character, the fact that I know that He is true to His promises, that when He says, I have your protection, it means I have your protection. That He says that you can be still and you can know that I am God. And if doubt or confusion begins to creep into my heart and into my soul, I can be confident in who He says that He is. I pray that in the midst of that reality, there will be more times in my life that I would sit down, that I might just be still, that I might even go face down before Him, because I realize that even as complex as the English language might be, that the best words that we have, they are petty and they are nothing to communicate the love that I have for Him. That I would somehow be dishonoring Him even if I tried to just even use words in that moment. Should we use words? Yes. But are there ever times that you think, oh, these words are not enough? I will just be still in your presence and I will worship you. The only response is to sit and be still with Him. Well, this silence, I think, then, is where we hear from the Lord and propels us into mission. Listen to verses 10 and 11 again. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When we moved from Kentucky to Atlanta, there were still so many unknowns. And it's been 5 years almost now. We're just a few months short of 5 years ago when we moved here, which is crazy to me because in some ways I feel like I've lived here for 25 years. In other ways, I feel like it's been 5 days. But there were so many unknowns. It's something to go from pastoring what is now a 170-plus-year-old church to people that we dearly loved and just a great situation. But God has been faithful through the church family through so many generations. And when you leave and you move through leave a church like that and you move into an urban area like we did almost 5 years ago to plant or to start a new church, we did so, as I've shared with you in the past on Sunday nights, because we just couldn't believe of what we found inside the city. So many people and so few churches that are truly trying to reach into the community, that are boldly saying, look, we love you. We are for you. We want to be generous and we want to be kind, but we don't think that we can just kind of throw all things up for grabs and define however the world and the ways that want to define it, that we believe the Lord has spoken. In fact, my daughter was telling me driving here, she said, Dad, I was talking to some friends at school, and we were talking about Easter and all that, and some of my friends were saying, like, yeah, I mean, if Jesus died on the cross, and he's a just God, then no one would go to hell. That would just be cruel. So we talked about the implications of that a little bit, and I said, Faith, that's exactly why we have to have the Word of God. Left to ourselves, we'll make it up. Or we'll go with what feels good, or what we like, or we'll define it however we want. And that's running rampant, not just in Atlanta, that's running rampant here. That is the way of the day. That is the culture that we are in. And I remember a night when my wife and I, we were still back in Kentucky, and we had been researching and praying and thinking and praying and discussing and praying about the possibilities of what would it look like to uproot our family and move into this city where the lostness is vast, where so many what once were prominent churches and church buildings now sit empty or being used for secular things. We didn't know then, we still don't know how, in a lot of ways, of how we're going to continue to live where we live, that it's such an expensive place. How do we meet people? How do we gain that? How do we be a part of something that God is doing? And I pray in a lot of ways, your way is not going to be a little bit different in the sense of the things you go, what if? And I pray that you're thinking, if your community, like, how do we move forward in that? How do we see more people love their neighbor as yourself?
We got to design it. in fact, find your quiet place and guess where they are. When you lay down at night and sirens and noise and people outside the sidewalk and they're right next to us and they stay up late and they get down and they have a neighbor on the side and the neighbor below us and things that are all moving at all times. But it was in that room, it was in that quiet place that I was alone before God and began to give me a greater word for people that were in their minds. That he gave me that question, how is the church reaching those that live in high rise and mid rise condos and apartment buildings in downtown settings of major cities? That's what began to do in my life in that quiet moment. Listen, if you want to hear from God, I mean, you really want to hear Him. His will is not as elusive as we make it out to be many times. The problem is we have too many other voices, we have too many other noises. I love to read books by Christian authors. I have books stacked up everywhere that honestly I know I won't have enough time on this side of the board to ever get into them all. And yet I still keep buying books and getting books and going to conferences and I always say they give me like a stack of guilt that I'm like, oh, there's more books and I hope to read some of them. Put it with the rest of the books that I have that I've stacked up now in little mini authors and I have books going everywhere. But I love that. But here's the truth of the matter. They're great and helpful as they are. We had better spend more time in the source material. I need to keep going through this just over and over and over and over again and getting before God and then being very silent and saying, will you speak into my life? I want to hear from you, God. So I just close my heart time in the midst of a culture where phones are constantly ringing or dinging and making noise, where we have TV on all the time, music streaming, on the demand this, on the demand that, and we can have it anywhere and all the time that we want. And those things in and of themselves are not bad things, but if you want to hear from the Lord, and if you want to hear from Him directly, my eye based upon Psalm 46 says, be still. Be still. And know that He is out. One thing that breaks my heart about one of the pastors is when God's people gather together to this time of setting, it is very awkward and weird, and some people even have, yeah, I don't like that. But what if we just, what if they take the next 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Such a good word.
I wonder what might happen in this place, in Midtown, around the world, if the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it started with us, if we would really just get real still each day, more and more. If one of us would just begin to get real still and then have confidence in Him, a life that is oriented in Him, of worship of Him, and a life that is on mission every day for His glory and for the good of our communities. I wonder what God might begin to do to us if we, as people, would reflect this. We could do so knowing great confidence when we are still and know that He is God. I would pray for us. Father, Satan, we know, just, I've got a sober reminder of his times. He's a liar and a deceiver. He is working constantly to distract. And I think and I fear for my life and for us as followers of the Lord Jesus, that we think that the only way that Satan might have some sway over us is if somehow we were to leave this place, begin to draw integrity and worship. Father, this is so much more subtle.
might have been the one way. He's trying to wreck this world. But the constantness of the noise in our ears. So Lord, would you give us the grace and the mercy and the faith and the obedience? Be very intentional. Again, we have to be intentional about this. Just like I have to be intentional to put myself around my neighbors consistently, I have to also be very intentional then to get real quiet before. Quiet is a time just feels so awkward. Because you're not a dead God. You're the one true and only living God. And your spirit begins to speak and sometimes shout into our souls. And so, Father, I pray for this sweet church family. Might you cause us to not be so dictated by calendars and business. Schedules that we have to keep, but might we make sure that we are still before you. We are quiet. We pray, Holy Spirit, you speak into our lives. This, I believe, is the very thing that will help us into our communities and unto the nations for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus that I pray, amen.
We're going to have an invitation song, but what I'm going to ask now is we're going to do this a little different.